Hey everyone, welcome to the Small Screen Couch Commentary Podcast, where we watch your favorite TV shows, give you our thoughts, and ask for yours. I'm Alex.
And I'm Billy. We're excited to watch and rewatch the best TV shows from start to finish and hope you're ready to take the ride along with us.
We'll talk about the best characters and their stories, reveal some hidden gems, and look for you to do the same.
From sci-fi to comedy, drama to anime, we've got it all covered. So grab your favorite snack and we'll see you on the couch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 3, Episode 1 of Small Screen Couch Commentary, The Boys.
I'm going to tell you what, buddy. You're in for a ride this season.
I mean, even
it
just...
starts off, you think that's crazy.
Even just this first episode, I'm kind of like, okay, all right. Like, I feel like first season, first episode, crazy start, right?
Yeah.
First season or second season, first episode, not a bad start, but I don't feel like it gripped me the same way. Maybe because I was like just used to the over the topness. But then even this episode, I don't think there was anything as crazy as that first episode, but still it drew me in again. Like I'm always excited to watch The Boys, but after watching this episode, I'm like even more excited now.
So what's funny is we're doing the Fallout podcast.
Right.
On Amazon Prime, and I'm trying my best not to binge that. What's harder is trying not to binge The Boys again. Like, I got done with the episodes. I'm like, I want to watch more, but I stopped. But it was hard.
Yeah. So let's go right into things as we normally do. What were you snacking on?
Some pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls.
Classic.
Okay. Now let me ask you this: do you taste a difference between like Totino's, like the OG pizza rolls, and like knockoff brands?
Yeah, so this was a knockoff brand, and they definitely weren't as good.
No, you don't think so?
I taste a difference.
Okay.
Yeah. Now it was Aldi's. Shout out to Aldi's.
Okay, so that's something like I've had the Aldi's.
They're good.
And yeah, and I don't. Maybe I just haven't had Totino's like legit ones in a while, but I didn't really think there was that much of a difference.
I wouldn't say a big difference, but it's noticeable.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Sure. I was like, okay, I can see why these are a little bit cheaper, you know, but it's fine because I enjoyed them. A lot.
All right. All right. Your boy was getting down on the second best flavor of Doritos, Cool Ranch.
The best.
No. Yeah. Second best.
I'm just going to, in post, edit out second.
Well, you know what? You can do that for the video because you handle that, but I do the audio.
Damn.
And I'm not editing that out.
Yo, everybody listening, just clear your brains when you hear second.
Yeah, so what would you give the rating for this episode?
8.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to give it higher, and I don't know why I'm not.
I went slightly lower. I went 8.4.
Oh, really?
I went 8.4.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of moving parts here. To kind of just recap the ending of season two, you know, the boys, they finally are at a point where, you know, they're not getting... knocked back. You know, Stormfront is not dead, but
fucked up.
Yeah, she's out of commission. Vought is not out of commission either, but they're kind of in a stranglehold. Homelander, he's, you know, pretty much being blackmailed by the boys and Maeve. Starlight's back in the Seven, so it's kind of one of those keep your friends close, but your enemies closer type situation. MM, he's out. He's trying to go back and be with his family. Frenchie and Kimiko, they're, you know, still have whatever nebulous, weird relationship they have, but they're not really in any place of danger.
Nope.
Billy is not saying he's out, but it seems like he is. And Huey is done.
He asked Newman for a job, and they're soup, I don't know, big brother force type of thing.
Right. But we also find out Newman's actually also a soup and is the one behind popping everyone's heads.
Yeah, she's the head popper.
Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty much the ending of season two. We get into season three here, and
it's been a year.
Right. Between the ending of season two and the beginning of season three, a whole year's gone by. And there are some things that are still the same and some things that are very different.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it. Where do you want to go first?
Well, I want to start off with they do the movie.
Yes.
The ending of
Dawn of the Seven, which is what they were shooting throughout all of season two, their big, big movie.
Yeah, so I thought it was cool you kind of got this, but they obviously switched up the movie big time to where Stormfront is the big bad.
Yeah.
And actually, Homelander says the line, that somebody else says at the end of season two. I forget what it was when he fights Stormfront, but it's real corny.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. It's like, so the season starts off, the episode starts off with watching the movie.
Yeah.
And so they're watching the...
It's at the premiere.
Right. Homelander's there. Everybody's at the premiere. They're watching the movie. And Stormfront is played...
by none other than Charlize Theron.
Yeah. Like, when it comes to...
What a wonderful lady. I love Charlize Theron.
Phenomenal actress. Huge range. She can do...
How do you pronounce last name?
I don't know either. I think it's Theron. I think everyone has always said Theron. Whether or not that's correct...
I'm being fancy.
I don't know.
It's Theron.
Well, she's not French. She's South African.
But I'm French, Alex.
Okay.
I know she's not a threat.
But yeah, so she can do everything. She's done drama. She's done comedy. She's done action. She's done sci-fi. So I thought it was great that they got her. But you're absolutely right. Like, the movie is corny.
Yeah.
Super corny. Like, you can tell that, like, Charlize, when she's portraying Stormfront, like, they were like, yo, you got to make her, like, whack.
Yeah, she keeps using, like, throwing German into her conversation.
But horribly pronounced German.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
I mean, I'm not any German expert, but her accent was terrible.
Yeah.
And they're leaning heavy on the racism, the Nazi, you know, aspect of Stormfront to kind of, you know, make sure that they understand, that the audience knows we're not with that. She's terrible. We're trying to separate ourselves from her.
Yeah.
And Homefront is there also acting terribly.
Yeah.
But, you know, they start to just have this hero supervillain conversation. And then I think at one point the conversation goes to, like, well, you can't beat me alone.
And he's like, and then you hear Starlight, he's not alone.
Yeah.
And all the other heroes come by. And then you hear whoosh. There's A-Train. Everybody's surprised. And he's like, what? You think I'm gonna, you have all the fun?
Right. Because at the beginning of shooting Dawn of the Seven.
He was out.
Yeah. A-Train, they were like, it was like his send-off and whatever. So now he's back, which I'm not going to lie, I was kind of happy for him.
Yeah.
I was kind of happy that A-Train got to come back. And he has, you know, a few points in this episode that we'll get into as well. But yeah. So,
yeah, we're here. We're at the premiere. I think we'll veer off from the premiere, but let's go through the premiere first.
Yes.
So you've got all these questions. A bunch of reporters are asking Homefront, how'd you fall in love with, how'd you not know?
Homelander.
Homelander, sorry.
Yeah.
How'd you not know Stormfront was a Nazi? And he has and they start showing, like,
bunch of different
clips of him saying the same thing over and over again. He has a script to say, like, hey, I'm a man who fell in love with the wrong woman.
Yeah.
People make mistakes.
Da-da-da. I'm a human just like the rest of you.
Yeah. And he says it over and over and over again, which I would also be tired of saying the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
But yes, we had that. And then you actually see Starlight. I love that they actually interview Black Noir, who never says anything. They call over Black Noir. Well, we're done with Homelander. Oh, Black Noir's over here. Come on over.
Yeah.
But we got Starlight, and she brings Huey to the premiere, who is looking very fly in a suit.
Very dapper. Very dapper.
And I love this scene only for this reason, is they, like, she has to do, like, a single shoot. So he starts to back away, and he bumps into somebody, and it's freaking Homelander.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how scared he was?
Dude. I would have shit my pants.
I'd be like, hey, buddy.
Yeah. Hey. Well, and that's essentially the same kind of reaction that Huey had. He was just kind of like, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
And it also seems like not just Huey, but, like, everyone around Homelander is very tense.
Right, because he's in a weird spot. Everyone knows it. Even at the end of the movie, they start to zoom out. Instead of watching the movie, you see Homelander and Mr. Edgar staring at Homelander.
Yeah.
See how he's reacting to the movie.
Yeah. I do like that we're getting more of Mr. Edgar.
Of course.
Just because Giancarlo is such a phenomenal actor as well. But I think Mr. Edgar is also a great character for him. It fits his acting style very well.
Yes.
I mean, him in Breaking Bad and Mandalorian, there are a few people that can play a villain. The, like, executive, you know, top tier boss-like type villain. There are a few people that can do it better than him.
Yeah. Organized, you know, kind of villain.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
For sure. He's great. But they have I forget, Homelander and Huey have a small conversation, and, you know, it's like, okay, whatever, and then Homelander walks away. And then A-Train comes over and is like, oh, you look good. What are you wearing? And Huey's just kind of like, I don't know.
He's like, good. I didn't really actually care.
I didn't give a shit anyway.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so then he puts his arm around Huey, and he's just taking pictures to be like, look good, but he's pretty
right.
Much, you know, who would have thought, you know, beginning of all this. Now we're both here together, which is kind of crazy. Like, the guy who ran through your girlfriend is now has his arm around you at a premiere taking pictures.
Well, and you know what? As necessary as Robin was to the storyline and to the plot in season one,
she's forgotten.
Yeah, like I think they kind of mention her, or we maybe even see her like in that first episode of season two when like Huey's kind of like stressed out.
Yeah,
and then pretty much nobody mentions her after that.
Yeah,
which I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I don't know if she comes back or not. But it just is still weird to me. That essentially from season one, it seems like he's madly in love with Robin. And like a week or two later, he's like in love with Starlight.
Yeah, but you only got one shot with Starlight. And it's Starlight.
I get that. And grief affects people in different ways.
Yeah.
Not everyone, you know, interprets grief the same way. But I don't know. I guess I just feel like if that was me, I would be like, okay, I'm not really going to be in a relationship or be with anybody for a long time.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do any of this shit because I'd be in depression. So I wouldn't even join the boys or anything.
Exactly.
So.
But anyway, it is just funny that A-Train is just like, we went from I'm the guy who killed your girlfriend to, you know.
That you wanted to, he wanted to kill him.
Right, yeah. Right. He wanted to kill him to then, you know, the end of season two, or like towards the end, they're not really working together, but they're not working against each other either.
Mm-hmm.
To now this point where it's like we're taking pictures on the red carpet and like I still hate you, you still kind of hate me,
but we're smiling.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's very awkward for Huey the whole way out as well. But yeah, that's basically, I don't know how much more you need to go into with the premiere.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I will say this, the movie, when they're watching the movie and when you're seeing it on screen, it looks like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The set pieces, the cinematography, the camera work and whatever, it looks like a movie, right? But then when you go out and you're seeing the people in the premiere and you're watching the show now also has like a very much movie quality to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they just spent a lot more money on equipment and cameras and cinematography and whatever, but you know how you can kind of tell the quality of what you're watching? Like, you can say, like, okay, I know this is a TV show, but then movies just look different.
Yeah.
And this looks different now. It looks like a movie.
It does. You're right. 100%. I do want to also point that they interview the director at one point during the interview.
Yeah.
And he's like, with all the home fronts of Nazi stuff, I mean, storm fronts of Nazi stuff, we're not sure what to do. You know, we're doing reshoots and all that. And at any one point, we're like, maybe we should just push it to Vault Plus.
Right.
And then he's like, but you, the fans, you asked for the whatever cut, which is the direct, like, Snyder cut.
Right,
thing.
Right.
And he's like, and you got it out here, and I'm glad you did, you know. It was great.
Yeah.
They parallel a lot of stuff to real life, even in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just funny to see. So.
Yeah, I do like the tie-ins of real-world events and
situation.
Cultural things that happen. It is pretty awesome to see, and I'm excited to see what they kind of tie in with season four here. That's going to be coming in a couple months.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
Which is ready to go. I saw a news article. Season four is ready.
Yeah.
It's done, and now we've got to wait.
Yeah. Excited for that. But we got to get through this, and then hopefully we can get through Gen V as well.
Yep.
And I know there are some people out there that are asking if we're going to watch Diabolical. I have an idea
for that, but we'll talk about that off the air.
Yeah, I want to watch it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's move on then from there. After the premiere, where do you want to go from here then?
Let's just go, because the next scene, I believe, is Huey and Starlight. Let's just go down.
Okay.
Let's go down Huey and Starlight.
Yeah, so Huey and Starlight, they're now living together.
Not quite.
Well, sort of.
She's staying the night pretty often, but
yes.
Huey has a very nice apartment.
Cushy apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Especially done. For somewhere in like New York.
Yeah.
It's gotta be hella expensive.
Well, yeah, and he's wearing suits now for work. Like he's nice suits. Like I'm jealous.
Yeah.
He's riding the Peloton in the morning, but they're in bed waking up in the morning.
Yeah, they're like officially in a relationship now.
Yep.
You know, throughout season two, it was not a relationship. And even towards the end, it was like you had a feeling they were going to get back together, but you never really saw anything official happen. They're Facebook official here.
Yeah, Facebook official.
Dude, I don't even know if kids say that
anymore. That's not a real thing anymore.
Yeah, like that's our generation.
That was a thing, man.
Yeah.
Changed that on Facebook when I was in high school.
Yes.
Real deal.
I don't know. Is like Instagram official
thing? I don't think so. I think, you know what?
TikTok official?
It was. Now that's probably gone now, yeah, too, because the baby posts a picture with them and says, my girl, then it's official.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Can you
be
TikTok official?
I'm sure there's something. There's got to be. If you're under the age of 25 and you're listening to this right now, probably 25 is probably too old.
Too old,
still.
Yeah. Let's go 22.
If you're under the age of 20, what's the
you
way
can't
that
drink yet legally?
Yeah. What's the way that you declare that you're in a relationship with your significant other online?
They're probably you old ass dummies. We'd just say we're together.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're getting ready for their day. Huey's making his breakfast or whatever. Starlight's drinking her
they
coffee.
They have sex. Yeah.
That too.
You can't skip the
no,
sex.
Of course not. Of course
but
not.
But there is a good point here. Like, he says, what do you say? I go brush my teeth, and then we do things to each other. And she's like, go get the Aquafresh.
Yeah.
So remember the Aquafresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aquafresh is a brand of toothpaste, for those of you who don't know. So, yeah, they're getting ready for their day. It's funny then because there's one point where Huey's trying to open, like, a jar of jelly.
Yeah.
And he can't open it. And Starlight just grabs it from him and just very easily pops it open.
Yeah.
So it's funny because, usually it's the other way around. Like, the lady's trying to open a jar and the guy's just like, got it.
Yep.
And when that happens with my wife, I'm just like, oh, you loosened it up for me.
Yeah. That's what I, yeah.
Yeah. But, so that was kind of funny. And so Huey is getting ready for his day. He's working with the, I forget the name of the department. It's like superhuman.
Yeah.
But anyway, he works for the department that oversees soups.
And kind of keeps them in line. Yeah,
keeps them in check. Essentially, it's like a more refined, regulated government version of the boys, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into some of that a little bit later. But
for sure.
We also see that when he's...
You know what? We should have mentioned this, too, at the premiere. Sorry. Huey's in the bathroom, and somebody surprises him, and it's Billy. And
yes,
Billy does
forgot
say,
about that.
Yeah, Billy does say to him, like, hey, we got this guy. We have a good information on this one. And Huey's like, well, let me talk to
Newman.
And Billy gets a little pissed off. Like, hey, don't just grow a pair and make a call yourself. So then Huey does say, hey, no killing, no burning, none of this. Just get pictures, please.
Right.
So you get the vibe here. Like, dynamics have changed.
For sure.
But,
for sure.
Like, just want to mention that because that will come up to play then this episode.
Yeah. So he goes to work and Huey's with Victoria. And they've got a very, it's almost like, okay, so Victoria, she's this politician, right?
Yeah.
And she's like the person that's running the whole division and whatever, but they've got a very friendly
almost
vibe
too friendly for a little bit. I was like, if Starlight saw this, would she be upset about it?
So here's I thought the same thing, but then the more I watched it, I'm realizing Huey is working, but he's keeping it friendly, whereas she's more flirtatious.
Right.
It's almost like I don't even want to say it's a work wife type thing because it's not that type of vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah.
It's more so like Huey's there. He's being Huey. Huey's always a friendly guy, very open guy, whatever. And she's not pushing things, but like kind of is.
Yeah.
Like at one point, I think she tries to like take a bite of his sandwich.
And he kind of turns it off and like says no.
He's like, no, like, yeah.
Makes a joke like you're going to get herpes. And then they have a fun conversation there. But then later she does steal the sandwich, take a bite. And then she says, oh, so worth the herpes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting to see the dynamic between them because I wouldn't say Huey is like her equal necessarily, but she doesn't treat him like a subordinate necessarily.
No, not at all.
So Huey essentially, as we touched on, runs the boys now, kind of, in a way.
Yeah.
So we see then Billy is working with...
I also want to talk about how the song that plays is Uptown Girl. And first they start with Starlight when the song starts, but the song is 100% about Huey in this
for
situation.
Sure.
It's hilarious because then he goes to work, Uptown Girl starts playing again, and you even have people in the office, I don't know if it's this scene or later, but they're talking to Huey, and then when he goes in the office, they're like...
Oh, is that Huey Campbell?
He's the one who helped take down Stormfront.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's dating Starlight. And this guy, like, he's living the best life. He's a king right now.
Right.
Like, Huey's where he wanted to be and probably should be.
Right.
Yeah.
But Huey kind of essentially runs the boys now. We see that Billy obviously reports to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys now just consists of Billy, Kimiko, and Frenchie. And so they carry out different missions and reconnaissance and stuff like that, but they report to Huey,
yeah.
And he gives the say-so on what they should or shouldn't do, how they should or shouldn't do things.
Yep.
And it's funny because, before in season 2, the beginning, Huey was kind of running the boys, but doing a terrible job
right,
of it.
Because he didn't have the money.
He didn't have the experience,
backing.
The know-how.
Yeah.
I don't think he had the confidence, whatever. Now it's very different. He has the experience. He has the know-how. He has the financial backing. He has the power of the government. Yep. He has the confidence
right.
in himself
and
as well.
And he also had to do things when you're with the boys back in 1 and 2, you had to do things the quote-unquote wrong way.
Right.
Or the bad way. Now he says it. Oh, I'm doing it the right way. And that's where that's where he is. He's the right way kind of guy. So.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to go into like the little mission that
you choose, big dog.
Let's take that. Let's take that route because it was crazy.
This is a wild mission.
this was probably the most over the top part of this episode. And maybe even a top five in the show.
Top three in the series so far.
I don't know if I would say top
so
three.
So far, yes. Come on, man. This is weird.
It is. I don't know if I say... Anyway. So, you know, Huey, he has Billy, Kimiko, and Frenchie going on a mission to get some information on
Termite.
A soup called Termite.
Which I told you, he comes back to play. He was in episode one.
Was that him? Yeah. Oh, gosh. I forgot. In the sex club.
Yep.
Do we know for sure that was him?
I'm going to say yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's very essentially the same powers.
Yeah.
But so it's like a big rave party type thing that's going on.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of people like kind of crowded around one area and they're watching something, but you can't really tell what they're watching at first. And then all of a sudden, you see these like plastic legs sticking up in the air and you see them kind of moving back and forth. You could tell someone's having sex with these plastic legs in the air. And you kind of zoom out and you see there's a very tiny guy in like a dollhouse having sex with this
doll.
Barbie doll type thing. And everyone's watching.
And clapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. As he's clapping them plastic cheeks.
And it's just weird that first off, there's a bunch of people just watching someone else having sex at a party, let alone the fact that it's a tiny man having a sex with a doll.
With a doll.
With a toy. It's not even like a sex doll. It's a toy.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's. I don't even know, was there anywhere to put anything?
Right. Yeah, if you've ever played with a Barbie, there's no holes there.
There's no holes.
So what I guess maybe he made one. I don't know. But anyway, he does his performance, and then he like blows himself back up to normal size.
His boyfriend covers him up.
Yeah, because he's there naked, and they come around. Everyone's cheering. Whatever. His boyfriend's like, okay, I'm gonna put a. I think he puts like a robe on him or something.
Yeah.
But then they go back into a little back room.
Yeah. So Frenchie starts to follow them.
Yeah, Kimiko and Frenchie find their way in the party. They see what's happening. They start to follow them, and as the Termite and his boyfriend going to this room. Termites
lines of coke.
Yeah, just pounding coke.
Yeah.
Termite's boyfriend is like, okay, I want you inside of me, you know. And
clipping that.
Please. So you know, if you're thinking what you think is going to happen, it does not happen.
You're wrong.
Yeah, totally wrong.
So yeah, he does another line of coke, and you see the boyfriend kind of he's getting ready to take his clothes off. But he
yeah,
does
now
kinda...
Termite as he's finishing up a line of coke, he sneezes a little bit.
Yeah,
which I've never done coke. If you've done coke, no judgment,
I would
whatever.
You sneeze,
but I'm a sneeze. Yeah, if I get like pepper or something in my nose or cinnamon or
anything.
Yeah, I'm sneezing.
Yeah,
so I guess it's a common thing if you're doing coke. He sneezes. The boyfriend then whips out his dick and just lays it on the table.
Yeah, and this is
right,
where you started thinking.
Right next to the coke.
You're like, wait, what's up here? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why do you need to do that? Right.
Right. Then you see Termite shrink down.
I love, they give you an idea of how small he is because he has to jump over lines of coke.
And it's like the lines of coke as far as height are as tall as he is.
Yes.
You know, he's trying to climb over this coke. And when his boyfriend said that he wanted him inside of him, he meant
the front
in
door.
His penis.
Yeah, he meant the front door.
And you then see Termite crawl into his urethra.
Doesn't even give it like the right thing. You actually get a view of termites' angle of what the dick.
Oh yeah, yeah. You see him crawl into the urethra like the penis head.
Yeah,
and he's in there, and immediately the boyfriend starts getting pleasure. Now, I've never had anything in my penis hole. I can't imagine it feels good.
I even watching this, I'm cringing in pain. Yes, when I watch this part.
100%. I've heard that certain STD tests that...
That's how they test.
They have to shove a Q-tip in there.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah. I can't imagine that feels good.
No.
But his boyfriend is into it.
Yeah. He's even telling him to go to the prostate.
Yeah. So he's crawling back. And at one point, you kind of see Termite hesitate. Like, he like... You know, just makes his face.
He almost sneezes. Yeah. And he stops.
Keeps going. And he's like rubbing the inside of his junk. And, you know, he keeps crawling back. And then all of a sudden.
He sneezes.
Achoo! And he grows back in size and essentially.
Rips the man in half.
Yeah. Like the bottom half of his boyfriend is gone.
Yeah.
His torso and up is still there. But all his organs are falling out. There's blood everywhere. He's obviously covered in blood.
Yeah.
Immediately just screams, no!
Frenchie throws the door open.
Yeah. Sees the dead boyfriend. Sees Termite.
Frenchie has a camera on his pocket, by the way.
Yeah, forgot to mention that. He has like a hidden cam in his button of his breast pocket. So the camera obviously gets all of this as well. But Frenchie just plays it dumb.
Frenchie's like, my bad. I saw nothing. I'll get on out of here. And the guy's like, wait. And Frenchie stops for some reason.
Yeah, I'd have been like, no, I'm out.
I'm good. I've just been running through people. He's like, you can't go. And the guy like goes small, gets down to Frenchie. And actually, like, he's super strong when he's small, kind of like Ant-Man is.
Yeah, very similar.
And throws Frenchie down and starts running towards him and goes up his leg pants. And I'm like, don't do the same thing to Frenchie.
Dude, that's exactly what I thought. I thought, okay, either he's going to crawl into his penis and blow him up too, or whatever. But then he starts yelling. Kimiko comes in, and Frenchie's like, he's trying to get in my ass. So Kimiko's like trying to help him and like starts taking his pants down or whatever, goes in his boxers and pulls Termite out. And she's got him like kind of in her hand.
Yeah.
And Kimiko is
strong
as well. Frenchie's kind of relieved at first, but then Termite breaks out of her grasp and starts fucking her up.
Yeah.
Like, literally tosses her at one point.
Yeah.
So they're fighting and whatever.
He throws Frenchie, and Frenchie gets kind of knocked out because he hits his head on the bed. One of the
bedposts. Yeah.
And then Kimiko gets thrown away. So then he starts running towards Frenchie's open mouth.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck, no. And out of nowhere, a little bag scoops him up. And it's none other than
Billy Butcher.
And it's a big old, well, not a big old bag. It's just a bag of cocaine.
Yeah, it's just a bag of coke.
And he just shakes him up in it.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is he says some shit here that's funny, but when he throws him back out, he's like, have a bump.
Yeah.
And then he throws up, he goes, fucking lightweight.
I mean, it's just funny because Billy always has a way of saving the day in the weirdest way. And here's the thing. After he says, have a bump, and, you know,
he calls him
a lightweight.
Smush him.
Yeah, he's clearly, Termite is there kind of half ODing. And he goes and puts his hand, he's going to go smush him, and he's about to do it. And I'm like, oh, shit. And then he stops himself.
Yeah.
And he tells, you know, Kimiko and Frenchie, like, all right, yeah, we're done here.
Yeah.
And they leave the party. Because essentially, he does what...
He promised he wouldn't kill anybody.
So very much a different side of Billy that we're seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that Billy wanted to kill him.
100%.
Like, Billy still is not on board with Supes at all. He's still harboring that hatred.
For sure.
So yeah, it's kind of sad in a way to see him neutered like that.
Yeah.
Because you're expecting Billy to be like the guy that goes in there is no nonsense and fuck shit up. And he can't do that anymore.
It is sad to see, but I think also you'll see, like, later on this episode, it's also for a good reason that he's trying
True.
To do that, because he wants to be a better person for a certain someone.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the boys are still in operation, obviously, but in a much different capacity than they were.
They answer to Huey, and then Huey obviously just kind of is the government. So.
Yeah. Now, from here, do you want to go to the other member of the boys?
Yeah, let's do that real quick.
So, the next part we're going to talk about, the last member of the boys we haven't seen yet is MM. Now, we mentioned earlier, MM is out. At the end of season two, he goes and reunites with his daughter. And essentially, that's all he had wanted to do since he got it back involved with the boys, is that he wanted to, like, get to a place where he could still be with his family.
Yeah.
So we see that he is preparing things for
a birthday party.
A birthday, yes. And it's his daughter's 10th birthday, I think, maybe 10th or 11th, something like that.
I think so, yeah.
And it's a little awkward because, one, it is a soup-themed birthday party.
Yeah. Luckily, she's Starlight.
Yeah, so she's a good soup.
She's one of the good ones.
So that's good. But then you see there's decorations. There's Homelander decorations. There's, you know, just Vought-themed stuff everywhere. And we see MM is, you know, just tidying things up and whatever because it's MM. He's, you know, he's got his OCD.
Yeah.
And then at one point you see Monique come out and they're like, oh, well, let's take a family picture. And so you've got MM, you've got Monique, you've got his daughter, and somebody's snapping a picture of them. And then Monique is like motioning to someone behind the camera person, like, oh, come on in. And we see this white dude in a home, white nerdy dude, not that nerdy's bad. I'm a nerd, okay, clearly. But you see him there in a Homelander costume, yeah. And he gets in, and they snap a couple of pictures, and then MM is kind of just like, that's for you guys.
And he's being kind of nice about it, right?
Yeah.
He's
like, steps out of the picture, and we kind of get the vibe here then that this new dude is Monique's boyfriend.
Right, because he even gives her a kiss in the picture.
Yeah.
I hate this guy. And here's the thing. You don't even know why yet, but I didn't like him in the first place, but I absolutely hate this guy.
Well, the fact that he's wearing a Homelander costume.
Right.
You know.
Bad start.
Bad news bears.
Yeah.
And I know somebody's going to come back to you know, throw this in my face. I know I had said multiple times in season one, Homelander is my favorite character. And I back that up by saying I agree he's a horrible person, but as far as his character and the development of whatever.
And who he is. Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. This season, you can see better great acting through season one and two from the guy who plays Homelander. But I think you even see how amazing he is in this season.
But I do want to say this, that anyone that's in the boys' world that is looking up to Homelander, you're probably not a great person either.
No, not anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, MM is kind of just like stepping out of the scene. He goes over, he starts tidying up like the cutlery. Like there's yellow, blue, and red plastic forks, and he has them all stacked nicely, and he's fixing them so that they're all straight and
lined up.
Yeah. Monique comes over to him and asks, like, she says, hey, are you okay? He's like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. And so I think she
even mentions a medication. I forget what it is, but.
Yeah, she says, I think, like, Zoloft. She says, like, have you been taking your Zoloft? He's like, yeah, I have. You know, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
So
at this point, I kind of feel really bad for MM. What a great guy, number one, but, like, I just feel super bad.
I think out of the boys, he was definitely my favorite, and I do feel bad for him because, like, all he was doing since he realized very quickly once he got back involved with Billy that it was the wrong decision. And all that he had been trying to do after he realized that was get back to the point where I can be out of the boys. I can be with my family. You know, I just want to be with my wife and my child.
Yeah.
So now that he got to that point, he's not really there. He's there, but he's on the outside looking
right,
in still.
Which is terrible.
Because he doesn't have the boys, but then he really doesn't have his family either.
Yeah. And it kind of sucks for him. And then, yeah, so I don't know if we've seen this episode or not, but he's not living there, obviously. So he's living by himself somewhere, which is probably not good for him at this moment.
Yeah. Well, we see a little bit later, he has his own apartment.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get into that part yet. But essentially, you know, MM, you can kind of tell as well that something's off with him, you know. So let's cut away from there then. Where do you want to cut to next? Because I think there's a lot that happens in this episode. There's a lot that happens in every episode. But
yeah.
Especially the first episode and the last episode are always like extra jam-packed.
Super jam-packed. I mean, we can always go back to Huey. I mean, I guess we want to make a point here that Huey and Newman are meeting. And they talk about termite. And she's like, we don't have termite. And he's like, what? Why? That was a big cash, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, well, one, he has a good ad deal with Terminax or whatever. They don't want to lose.
Yeah, Vought set him up with Terminax.
And it's kind of hard to get him after Butcher
coked him up.
Yeah, coked him up big time. And he always makes, but it wasn't big time. It was a little bit of coke.
Yeah.
He was just little.
Tiny.
But they make some kind of trade with Vought. Like, they're like, okay, we get this person, and this person.
He was upset because they get, like, B-tier people.
Yeah, he's like, B-listers. And she's like, it's three B-listers and some bad guys, you know? And
right. Right.
She makes a big point, like, hey, 60% of soup casualties
are down. Yeah.
You know, that's because of blah, blah, blah. So he has to go tell the boys this, and they're pissed off. And he says the same exact thing, 60%, you know, soup casualty down. And Billy's like, that sounds like Newman talking for you, her hand right up your ass. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it's just like, they're not real happy about it either. And it is funny because this whole time, freaking Kimiko is playing the piano trying to learn a song.
Yeah. Now, I do want to touch on a few things now that we've kind of gone back there. At the scene at the party where they bust Termite,
Kimiko veers off.
Yeah, there's one point where Kimiko veers off and she's hearing someone playing the piano. And you see a girl playing a piano in a room by herself. And she's playing, I don't remember the name of the song, but it's a familiar old song.
Yeah, I wish I remembered it.
And you see Kimiko just watching this girl playing, and then out of nowhere, Kimiko starts singing.
Yeah.
And she's singing the words to the song, and I'm like, oh, like, did homegirl finally learn how to talk?
She's got her voice.
Yeah, and she starts singing, but then we just see that that's something that she was imagining.
Yeah, she's just staring awkwardly at this girl.
Yeah.
And the girl introduces herself, and then Kimiko just walks away.
Yeah. In the scene here then where Huey and Billy are kind of arguing, going back and forth, she's playing the piano and she's trying to play
that song,
the song that the girl was playing at the party. So I did want to just go back and touch on that. But yeah, so the boys, they're not necessarily happy with how things are going, least of all Billy.
Yeah.
But essentially, you know, they have to do what they have to do.
Yeah.
So I want to go back and touch on something that we forgot to mention at the movie premiere.
Oh, talk to me.
Newman was also at the movie premiere.
Yes.
And there's one point where she's kind of on the red carpet, and as she's exiting the red carpet, there's a guy kind of in the crowd there, and he's looking right at her, and he's saying, Nadia, Nadia. And nobody's really paying any attention, but Huey notices this guy saying
Nadia to Victoria Newman.
And he was kind of just like, well, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Very important moving forward here, though.
Yes. Is this... this is the episode where this happens, where the guy shows up at the office.
Yes.
And he stands for Nadia. And Huey sees him and is like, hey, there's no Nadia here. That's Victoria Newman. And he kind of whistles over security. Security takes the guy out.
And the guy is talking to Huey as security's coming over. He's like, you know, we were old friends. You know, her name's Nadia. And he was just like, yeah, okay. And then he says, tell her old friend Tony came by. She'll know who you're talking about.
Little Tony Tone.
Yeah. So, you know, this guy popping back up twice here, kind of weird.
Getting weird.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before we continue with that part, though, because that's an important part in the story, I do want to touch back to Homelander. Because Homelander... he is in the dumps.
He's down in the dumps.
You can see every scene that he's in, the people around him are tense. They're walking on eggshells. And Homelander himself, you can see he's basically having to fake everything because he is afraid of being exposed.
Yeah.
Because as we remember, when he was about to kill Billy and Ryan, or at least try to, Maeve had showed up and saved the day and said, look, you're going to leave me and Elena alone. You're going to leave Starlight alone. You're going to leave them alone. And if anything happens, you know, otherwise,
this plane,
I'm going to leak this. And she says, I'm going to leak the footage of the plane.
Yeah.
You know, of her and Homelander leaving all those people on the plane to die. Now, here's the other thing. Billy now also has that footage. And that's important as well.
Very important. But they're at like a Fox News thing or something like that, right?
Yeah. Homelander is, he's going to be interviewed on like a Tucker Carlson type show.
Yeah.
And as he's walking in, we see the Deep walking
and he's like,
out.
Homelander, buddy, gives him a big old hug. And Homelander is like, not happy to see him.
Yeah. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to see you. You know, I just did a segment on my book. deeper. And you know, it's just great, you know. And I don't think he's actually like still he's not officially part of the Seven yet.
No.
Right? Because he even is trying to tell Homelander, like,
get me back in the game, coach.
Right, yeah. Right. And Homelander's just like not even really responding. And you find out then that the reason he's not responding is because he's upset. He's angry.
How did you get the spot before me?
Yeah. And the Deep's like, what? And he's like, how did you get the segment that went before I did? And the Deep's just like, oh, and Ashley's there, still playing her Madeline Stillwell type role.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you know what? Those booking agents, they're stupid. They make mistakes sometimes. I'll make sure that they're fired immediately.
Yeah.
And Homelander's just like,
I'm not asking you, I'm asking him.
Yeah.
And he does the same thing. He's like, I don't know, stupid idea, man. Stupid idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so Homelander walks away and is like, okay, well, good to see you. Walks away. Cassandra, which is the Deep's wife, is like, what was all that? And the Deep's like, I think that went well.
Yeah. So Homelander goes on the show, and of course he's getting asked again, how'd you not know that Stormfront was a Nazi? And he gives the same old line, like, hey, I'm just a man. You know, I may be bulletproof on the outside, but in here, I'm just like the rest of you, you know. And I do have like 0.00000001% like feeling bad for him.
Yeah.
Because it does seem like he actually did love Stormfront. Yeah. It was a very different love, a very different relationship than he had with Madeline.
Yes.
Because the thing with Madeline was just a weird power struggle, mommy, son, sexual, you know, thing. It wasn't really romantic.
It was like, weird.
What he had with Stormfront
was romantic.
As horrible as it was and as bad of people as they are, was a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
So he's just not feeling good about himself or life in general.
Yeah.
So he does this segment. He gets asked the question. He regurgitates the same answer. And, you know, he's done there. And so he's needing some comforting.
Yeah.
And he goes to see Stormfront.
Who is in her apartment still at Vault Tower. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
It looks like it's the same apartment that she was in.
Yeah.
But either way, it's probably a Vault facility. Yeah.
He calls her Love. He's like, hey, Love, blah, blah, blah. And then he starts venting about how shitty things are for him right now.
Right. And now, mind you, she's alive, but
hanging
barely.
On. Yeah.
I mean, Ryan, when she was trying to kill his mom, Ryan obliterated her with his laser eyes or whatever he did.
She still has a nub for one of her hands.
Yeah.
She has like no legs.
Her whole face is burnt. Her hair is kind of half there, half not. I think she's missing. Yeah, she's missing the one eye because Becca stabbed her in the eye.
Yep.
So she only has one eye. She looks horrible.
Right.
She can now talk. The last time I saw her, when she was talking, she was just muttering things in German.
Yeah.
But she's like trying to comfort Homelander.
Because you want me to help you feel better?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I do. And so he goes over to her bed. She like lowers the bed and puts her hand out, and he unzips his pants, which he doesn't unzip them. That's the other thing. It's weird. Those suits all seem like they're like one piece.
Yeah, I can't tell.
So I don't know. Anyway, semantics. He whips his dick out.
Yeah.
And she starts jerking him off. And he's just sitting there talking, keeps venting about stuff. And she's like, no, like, you're so great and blah, blah, blah.
Everything you go through.
Yeah.
But then she goes back to her Nazi ways and says, I'm about the Aryan race. And he even goes, No, I'm not talking about, I am the perfect race. He's like, nobody
right.
else, you know?
Yeah, he's like, we don't need a master race. Like, I am the master race.
Yeah, it was.
So that immediately turns him off.
Yeah, and then
Homeboy goes soft, and he's like, you know what, have a good day. And he just bounces, and she's sad then.
Yeah.
Which I feel zero, you know, I don't feel bad for Stormfront at all.
No.
She's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm glad she's going through what she's going through.
Yeah.
And then actually there's one little thing here too with A-Train afterwards, like Homelander's walking the halls and A-Train walks by him, says, what's up? And he's drinking a milkshake.
Yeah. He goes, oh, hey, as he passes by, he goes, what are you drinking?
It's like Shake Shack. You want one?
Yeah. And he's like, I'll go one over the PAs and they'll grab you one. And Homelander walks up to him and he's just like, yeah, so I see you drinking this, not to mention you had eaten like a bunch of donuts in the break room earlier. What's up with that? And A-Train goes like, well, you know, I need 30,000 calories a day. You know, he's like, yeah, you did when you were running. So clearly A-Train, not performing any actual superhero duties.
No.
And Homelander kind of makes fun of him. He says, you know, you're...
He calls him Tubby, and he pinches his fat.
Yeah. And A-Train is kind of just like...
And somehow, I forget.
Awkward. But then as Homelander starts walking away, A-Train just goes like, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
And Homelander's like, what'd you say? And it's like, I didn't say anything. He's like, no, what did you say? He's like, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. And he grabs him and he starts like to choke him a little bit. He's like, say it. Say what you were going to say. And Adrian's like, I didn't say anything. And then he gets his laser eyes on and he's like threatening him. And A-Train immediately like drops his milkshake.
Tower.
And yeah, he's cowering there in fear. And Homelander, he says he's sorry. And Homelander lets him go. But then as he's walking away, we see then A-Train kind of like stands up and he looks over and Maeve is like down the hall and she sees him.
Yeah.
And then A-Train kind of just walks away and it's like, all right.
You know. Maeve texts somebody. We need to meet.
Yes. So that's when she goes to meet with none other than Billy Butcher.
Yep.
And it's crazy how throughout seasons one and two, as ridiculous and off the cuff and, you know, totally not the way it should be done as Billy's methods are, when shit hits the fan, everyone goes back to Billy.
He's the only one who knows to get stuff done. Doesn't matter how he does it, he gets it done.
Yeah.
I think it's important to mention before they meet, there is a part where, so throughout the episode or the beginning of the episode, you get like an ad campaign for my boy Bobby Singer.
Yes.
He's running for president, I believe.
I don't know if they mention president necessarily, but he's running for, you know, some office and whatever. And there's a point where he meets with
Mr. Edgar. And Mr. Edgar shows him a tube that, you know, you would see Compound V in, but it's green stuff in there now instead of blue. He's like, what's this? And he's like, V24. And it's like, we're working on the name. But basically he tells him,
we've been working on the formula. We've got it right. And this formula will give anyone superpowers for 24 hours.
Give or take.
You know, hence the name V24.
Yeah. And he wants to give it to them so they can give it to men and women in the military.
Right.
And so basically Bobby Singer is like, okay, well,
this is a tough sell.
How much does this cost? And he does all the math. It's like, man, Vault makes a lot of money. And Mr. Edgar, again, which I love that he sticks to his guns, he doesn't want to be a superhero company. He doesn't want to be babysitting these soups that are having sex with random people, killing random people, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, he basically tells him, I want out of the soup business.
We're a pharmaceutical company.
He's like, at some point here in the next few years, I want to be just like pharmaceuticals and something else. Yeah. I don't remember. But he's like, I don't want to deal with any of this stuff. And so he's like, you know, he's trying to push the V24. And Singer is just like, look, you know, this stuff is radioactive.
When people hear Vault, they hear Nazi and stuff like that now. Or Compound V. This is basically Compound V, but for 24 hours. Like,
yeah.
We're not going to be able to sell this.
Yeah. And so, you know, their little meeting, it kind of ends in a very nebulous way. Like, Singer's pretty much saying no.
But Edgar, because he says he can't get past Congress or Senate. And Mr. Edgar says, I still have some pull in some places.
Yeah. So it kind of ends in a way that Singer's saying no, but Edgar is kind of just like,
yes.
Yeah. 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 He's in a very much a no means yes type mood here.
Yeah.
Not a good stance.
No.
So when Maeve goes to meet with Billy, she basically says, like, hey, we've got to do something about Homelander. And Billy's kind of just like, oh, well, you know, I don't know what you want me to do here. And she says, she has like a file with her. And she says, hey, like, there was a superhero back in the day. Do you remember him? Soldier Boy. And he's just like, yeah, he was around in like the late 80s or whatever. But, you know, he's dead. He went on some mission and there was some bomb or something that blew him up.
He was stopping a nuclear meltdown.
That's what
it
was.
Ohio. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Maeve pulls out the file, gives him the file. He's reading through. He's like, okay, I'm not seeing anything here that I don't already know. And she's like, keep reading. And turns out from the files, which I guess it's like something they had at Vault or whatever. She says there was some sort of weapon that that killed Soldier Boy, we need to find out if that's what really happened to him. And if it is, maybe we can find this weapon to use against Homelander.
Right, because apparently Soldier Boy pretty much has the same powers as Homelander.
Yeah, because Billy even mentions, he was like, yeah, you know, he was tough as nails or whatever, and, you know, almost as tough as Homelander. So we find out then that that Soldier Boy was part of another crew of superheroes in the 80s. Yeah, their name was Payback. So it was him and a couple other people. We find out also Black Noir was in Payback. And essentially, it seems to me like Payback was Vought's The Seven before The Seven.
Yeah.
And so The Seven, as they rose in popularity, they just blew past Payback. And Payback then kind of just fell by the wayside.
Yeah, they even say one of them sent, once The Seven became popular, one of them sent Maeve like a bag of cat shit or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
But still owned by Vought. Like, Payback was still a Vought thing.
Yes. So she tells Billy, like, you need to go on a mission here to figure out what happened to Soldier Boy, how he really died, so that we can find out
where this weapon is, if
right.
it exists.
And so we can potentially have that to use against Homelander. And then she warns Billy. She says, like, if you're going to go against Payback and try and find some of them and figure out what's happening, like, be careful, because while they're, you know, older superheroes and whatever, like, they're still
dangerous.
Strong.
Yeah.
They're still dangerous. And so Billy's just kind of like, I can hold my own or whatever. And then she gives him some vials and hands him like three or four vials of V24.
Explains what they are.
Yeah.
Explains that they're still going through testing, so it could kill him.
But yeah.
You know, he's like, okay.
And Billy's like, okay, so you want me to take this that could give me superpowers or could blow my nuts off?
Yeah.
No way. Plus, even if it were safe, what makes you think I want to be like one of you?
Yeah.
And so Maeve's just like, well, you know, just take it. Be careful, whatever. So the next scene we see, Billy has the vial of V24, and he's looking at it. He goes to uncap it, and he's about to, like, pour it down the sink.
Yeah.
And right as he's about to pour it down the sink, he hears, I think, like a tap on his window.
He hears like a whoosh sound, right?
Is that what
outside.
It was? Okay.
Yeah, and it sounds like somebody lands something really close to him.
Yeah, so he
closes up, puts it in like his cookie jar.
Yeah, he's got like a little dog
that looks
cookie
just
jar.
Like his dog, yeah.
Yeah, puts it in there, walks over, and we see the person that's paying him a visit is Homelander.
Crazy. I love this scene.
Great scene. He goes out to the window, and, you know, they talk a little bit there, but then Homelander's like, can I come in? And so, surprisingly, I thought he was going to tell him to fuck off. He lets him in, starts making some tea. They have a little conversation, and eventually
he doesn't make Homelander tea though.
No, yeah, he makes himself some tea.
Yeah,
they get into a conversation where Homelander's kind of just saying, like, you know, basically trying to compare the two of them, and trying to make Billy see his point of view, which I don't actually think Homelander believes this, but he's trying to make it seem as if, like, they're equals on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
And basically saying, like, you know, you used to do your thing, you know, and didn't really have anybody ordering you around. I used to do my thing and didn't have anybody order me around. Like, you know, trying to be like, weren't those the good old days?
Right, yeah.
You know? And trying to appeal to Billy's sense, because he can also, obviously he knows that Billy and the boys are still operating, but in a very
different
way.
Yeah. Yeah, what a great conversation. Very intense conversation, but it does go down the road of, like, Homelander brings up, like, I just want it to be, you know, at the end of the day, it's just you and I duking it out till one of us
is dead.
Dead.
Pretty much.
And
yeah.
Freaking Billy, who is a human being next to Homelander, says, yeah, that's what I fucking want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you're ballsy.
Right.
You know?
Right. And so it's just interesting here, because even though Billy is just a human, and even though Homelander was kind of making, appealing to his senses and making it seem as if, hey, we're just, you're the good, bad guy version of me, and, you know, vice versa, whatever. I don't actually think Homelander really believes that. I think he's just telling him that because he knows is stroking Billy's ego.
Yeah.
He doesn't think that Billy's like his equal, just on, you know, the other end of the spectrum. But he knows that Billy is an engine of chaos, and that if he can try to get Billy to kind of, you know, cause some commotion and fuck shit up,
yeah,
then, you know, maybe there he can get back to the point where he can operate the way he used to.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what goes on. But what I will say is also kind of felt like, too, maybe that Homelander has nobody to talk to.
That as well.
And he goes to Billy because he does feel like, okay, Billy obviously is trying to do the right thing in the wrong ways and everything, but he does feel like he's the only person that might understand him.
You know who this that scene kind of reminded me of? And it's a total, like, deep cut out of left field type thing. Catch Me If You Can. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Well, so just super quick, Leonardo DiCaprio plays a fugitive who forges checks and whatever, and Tom Hanks plays either an FBI or an IRS agent who is like chasing him. And there's one scene where it's like Christmas Day and Leonardo DiCaprio's character calls Tom Hanks, and like he's in his office because he doesn't have anybody else to talk to, and he calls him and is like, hey, I'm just having a conversation. And very similar. And Leonardo DiCaprio's character called him because he was alone.
Yeah.
Very similar vibe here. Like, Homelander doesn't have anyone to talk to. He can't talk to anybody in the Seven.
Yeah.
Black Noir would probably be the only person that he could talk to, but Black Noir doesn't talk.
Yeah.
And his love, Stormfront, he's kind of now seeing more and more like, you're like not really what I thought you were, and your whole agenda behind what you want to do, like, we want the same thing, but you want it in a very different way that I don't like.
Yeah.
So yeah, Homelander essentially is alone.
Yeah.
So the only person he can talk to is his mortal enemy.
Yep.
So they leave that conversation, and you just kind of left your wheels spinning here then to think, okay, well, I wonder where's this gonna go. So yeah, where do you want to go from here? Because there's not much left.
No, is this episode? Sorry, I watched both episode one and two, like right one after the other.
Yeah, I did too.
Do we have the reality show in this one, or is that next one?
Yes, we do. We get the beginning of it.
Oh, do we get the conversation with Mr. Edgar in the office?
What do you mean?
With Starlight and Homefront?
No, that's the next episode.
One. Okay,
yeah. So we do have a reality show. Let's touch on that, because that's not a huge thing, but it's important enough.
Yeah, it's like American Idol, but for people who want to make, you know, it's more like The Bachelor.
Kind of, yeah.
But it's for people who want to make it into the Seven, because they still have a slot to fill. And the person hosting
slots.
No, that's true. The
multiple
person hosting is
Starlight.
Starlight.
Yeah. So there's like, I think they've narrowed it down to like three contestants. And yeah, there's one guy there who is kind of like a teen star that had a connection with Starlight.
They dated.
Yeah, they dated, and we actually get a mention of him. I don't know if they say his name necessarily, but we get a mention of him back in season. I don't remember season one. I think at the Believe convention.
Yeah,
she talks about him with Huey at one point. But anywho. So yeah, there's this competition, this reality show, and Huey goes to visit Starlight on set at one point, and she's like kind of there laughing and talking with this guy. I forget his name.
Forget it right now.
Doesn't matter.
But they're running lines.
Yeah. And
for
Huey's
a reality
like
show.
This you're running lines for a reality show, and they're like, well, yeah, you know. And if you know anything about reality TV, it's not scripted per se, but a lot of it is like planned.
Yeah.
I would liken it to professional wrestling, maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
I like this guy because, yeah, he dated Starlight and he was a little like, I mean, the guy's ripped. He's a superhero.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
Good singer.
But he's a nice guy. Like, he's nice to Huey. He doesn't have, I don't think there's any intentions to do anything with Starlight with him.
No.
He's just a friendly person. So it's really funny. Like, this is a weird situation. But my favorite, I'll wait till we start when they start walking away from him and everything, but Starlight's hilarious in this scene.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's just a awkward interaction for Huey.
Yeah.
Because you kind of almost even see him revert back a little bit to like his less confident self, because he feels maybe a little bit threatened that Starlight is going to, you know, like someone more than she likes him.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit nervous.
Yeah, he puts his arm around her when he's telling a story about when they're younger and kind of pulls her in closer for a little bit. You know,
yeah.
You can tell he's real nervous. But they do talk about it on the way out. Like, he's definitely, like, he's open about how jealous he is. And she's like, there's nothing to worry about. You need to calm down, da da da. And he's like, yeah, I don't need to calm down about this superhero guy who's fit, can sing. Oh, and took your virginity.
Yeah. And she's like, no, it was mutual taking of virginities. Yeah.
And it was only a few times. It was awkward because we're religious and everything. So we didn't do it much. And then as she's walking into her trailer.
Yeah, she's like, we didn't do sex. We just did like anal.
We did
a
bunch of butt stuff.
Yeah.
And he just freezes. And she walks away and then comes back like 2 seconds later. I'm just fucking with you. And he's like, don't ever do that again.
Yeah. But anyway, needless to say, you know, Huey is confident, but old Huey's still in there.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know. So there's another big scene that happens here. And is there anything else you want to get into before this?
I don't think so. I think we're good.
So we talked about earlier about this weird guy that had seen Victoria Newman on the red carpet and was calling her Nadia. We talked about how he showed up at their offices and was looking for Nadia again. And he was like, no, you know, she's not here. You don't know what you're talking about. And he says, tell her old friend Tony stopped by. Towards the end of the episode, we see Huey and Victoria. They're kind of done for the day and they're leaving to go home. And we see Victoria start walking down the street and Huey's like about to be on his way. But then he sees this guy again, and this guy's like across the street down the way, and he starts looking at Victoria and he starts walking down the same street. So Huey is kind of just like trying to signal to Victoria, but she doesn't see him or she doesn't hear him. She keeps walking, whatever. So Huey's like, okay, well, I got to catch up with them. Eventually, he sees that Victoria cuts down an alleyway, and Huey is like, all right, well, I got to go down there too. But as he's walking there, he sees Victoria and Tony, and he hides behind a dumpster quick.
Yeah.
And so Victoria's there, and she's, like, walking, but she's walking down, and Tony's behind her. She doesn't see him, but then she stops, and she turns around, and she's like, hey, you know, what's happening, Tony? And here we find out that he does know her, and that he is like, hey, like, Nadia, you know, what's going on? And so they're having a conversation. We find out Victoria really is Nadia.
Yep.
We don't know who Nadia is.
But they grew up together in red. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, it was some sort of like.
Okay, it was red something, but that was the name of it. But yes. He says, whatever happened to us, you have a platform now to bring it to light.
Right, right. And she's just like, trying to tell him, like, hey, you know,
it's not that simple.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts here and whatever. And he's like, no, like, you can really help us out here. You can help me out. And so eventually she's like, okay, you know what? Yeah, I'll help you out. They hug. And similarly to when we see other people, his nose starts bleeding and he knows what that means.
Yeah.
And we know that Victoria, aka Nadia now, is the head popper. So he immediately pushes her away. And we see that her eyes start to turn white. And this is where we find out, you know, her head popping ability, her, you know.
She needs to see it.
Right. She needs to be able to see it. So he knows that. This guy's also a soup because he like tosses her. They're fighting.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And so he knows that he needs to be able to look at whatever she wants to try and pop. So he, I think at one point, like covers her eyes. And so she's struggling. And then she like pulls his one hand away and she looks and
blows up his hand.
So then he's just like, then she's like, they're fighting a little bit more or whatever. He's trying to keep her from looking at him and they struggle a bit. And at one point then she just looks and like blows his whole mouth open.
Yeah.
And so like the bottom half of his head is completely gone. He's done. He's on the floor, like blood just pouring out of everywhere in his face. And Huey's seeing all of this happening and he's hiding behind this dumpster, but he can't believe it because now he's shocked because
somebody he's been working with for a whole year,
right, in regards to keeping Supes in line and keeping them from killing people and doing bad things. Not only is she a Supe, but she's a bad Supe.
She's the head popper.
Yeah, she's the head popper. So Victoria's looking down, or Nadia's looking down, and she looks at this dude, and boom.
Makes just, it rain.
Yeah, explodes his whole body, and just blood and guts everywhere, covering her, going up in the air, literally raining down droplets of blood and shit everywhere.
Yeah.
He was behind this dumpster, getting covered in the blood, and she hops on the phone, and she's like, hey,
it's me. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And she gives the ad, like the alleyway.
I need a crew.
Yep.
And so she calls this crew and she starts walking away, and Huey gets up.
And she's upset because it was her friend. You can tell she was a little upset.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely cared about this guy, but.
Yeah. She gets out of there.
She has her own agenda.
And yeah. And Huey gets out of there. Now, I do want to mention we did miss a few things then. So we are a little confused by episodes. So I do know. So in this episode, Mr. Edgar gets Homelander and Stormfront together in the office.
Was that this? I thought that was because
I remember
the next
Huey and Starlight then have a little argument, and that's he looks at his phone.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. So anyway, real quick, I'll fly through it. They're in the Seven's main office. Edgar wants Starlight and Homelander in there together. But he didn't tell him that. They just said, "I need to meet with you." So they both think it's a 1-on-1. But basically, what he wants to do is. Starlight's numbers are just through the roof.
Yeah, she's polling at like a 96, which is a vault record,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, unheard of, because Homelander's like never ever, no one's ever done that except you, apparently.
Yeah.
And so Mr. Edgar wants her to be co-captain with
Homelander.
And she's like, no, I'm good, because you can even see in his face how like pissed he is about it.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, yeah, I would think the same way. Like, hey, I don't need to piss him off any more than he already is. Like, we're good. Like, so she's kind of like, no, thanks for the offer. Mr. Edgar actually kicks Homelander out, and Homelander doesn't want to leave. He's like, you leave right now. And he leaves and starts saying, like, she's like, you saw him. Like, I don't want to. He's like,
I don't want to upset him any more than he already is.
Don't worry about that little baby and his tantrums. Like, as long as I'm here, he's under control. She's like, he can hear us, you know? He's like, good, let him hear me.
Right.
And so they go through it, and he's pitching it to her, and he lets her think about it. So then in the whole situation when Huey and her go into the trailer, she then tells him about it. Huey's kind of against it. And it kind of turns into a whole like gender thing where it's like, if a guy climbed a ladder, it's okay. And he kind of apologizes, like, you're right. But he did say some questionable things in this argument. So he does kind of ask when like she's going back on set. He's like, are you coming over tonight? She's like, don't bring the aqua fresh.
That's right.
So they're not going to have sex, which, damn it, Huey, you fucked up.
You did.
So yeah, I just wanted to point that out because I remember now when he leaves the office with Victoria or Nadia, he looks at his phone to text her, but doesn't text Starlight. And I'm like, is he going to go try to have dinner with her or get a drink with her? Like, that's what my first thought was.
Okay.
But yeah, so they're not in a great place because I think Starlight has a good reason to want to do this, because she can actually do good if she's even higher up.
Well,
what she believes.
She thinks she can.
Yeah.
Because yeah, when Mr. Edgar is telling her, hey, you'll be co-captain, he basically tells her, you'll also have like decision-making power on who else fills these empty slots.
Yeah, who's for the seven. And where our extra money goes for charity and things like that.
Right. What missions you'll do and support and whatever.
Which he knows is how to sell her on that, because she wants to do the right thing. But I think he also wants good people in so he can just finally stop dealing with this bullshit.
Yeah.
And slowly wean away from superhero stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Huey is shocked here to find out that his boss, who he was very close with and thought he was doing good things with, is not only a Supe, but a bad Supe.
And is the head popper.
And is the head popper.
Yeah.
Who has already killed dozens of people.
In one room.
Yeah. Well, and who knows what else? I mean, clearly she had killed Susan Rayner, which they don't really touch on that after it happens.
No.
And I'm wondering if they circle back to that at any point, because Susan Rayner's death was pretty early on in season two.
Yeah.
Might have even been the first or second episode.
Yeah, I think it might have been the first, yeah.
And so I'm wondering here, like, how did Newman get involved with that? How did she even know to be there to kill her? There's got to be some connection, and, you know, maybe they bring it back, maybe they don't, but I kind of hope we get some closure on that, because I did like Susan Rayner.
Yeah, me too.
We'll see. But yeah, that's pretty much the end of this episode. Over the top craziness with everything with Termite, with
It started with a bang, ended with a bang.
Yeah. and I'm interested to see then too, you know, where things go with this other team that had Soldier Boy and the team that Black Noir had come from or whatever. I want to see what the dynamic is with all of that.
Jensen Ackles, baby.
It would be cool. Yeah, to see, you know, maybe there's going to be some superhero like Civil War type shit. Who knows?
I know.
I know you do. but
you have to find out.
I do. So, yeah, season 1 starting off with a bang, hoping that
season 3 episode 1.
Sorry. Yeah, season 3 episode 1. And I'm hoping that it just continues, and you know, it's surprising to me that I didn't watch this show sooner.
Yeah.
I wish I did now that, you know, look back on it. But if I did, we wouldn't be sitting here right now doing this.
You're right. So
everything happened for a reason.
My man.
But yeah, check us out next week. We are now moving our boys podcast to premiere on Mondays. Mm-hmm. So listen in for that. We had just dropped our first episode of Fallout last Friday, or whenever you'll be hearing this, it will be, you know, before
Fallout's
that.
Out.
But yeah, so listen now for our Fallout podcast. That's all we've got right now. We finished our Avatar season. We are going to do a post-season wrap-up episode here at some point. Yep. So listen out for that as well. But shout out to everyone on our TikTok. I want to make sure that we call those out right now, because we've been getting a bit more engagement there. We've switched up how we're doing videos on TikTok.
Yeah.
We're posting more consistently there. We're consistently getting more views, and we're getting more engagement. So
we appreciate it, and we love the conversations going on TikTok.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So if you're someone who came here from TikTok,
hello.
Thank you for listening, and welcome. Welcome to the Couch Crew.
The Couch Crew.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
See you.
All right,
peace.
Peace.